The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chances. Plenty of stuff to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Mark Chmura, Josh DiMaggio, and me, Jen Latta. Gabe Neitzel is still out this week. But before we talk about Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft and Devin Williams, I want to talk about State College, Pennsylvania. Chu, have you ever been to State College, Pennsylvania?
Favorite place to play a college football game.
Seriously?
I played there three times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hands down the best.
Atmosphere. Tell me why. I've never played there, obviously, but tell me why.
Grass is unbelievable. Should be on a golf course. But probably because they were so nice. Probably because they knew we were going to lose.
Yeah.
Because they would actually cheer us on when we'd come out of our locker room, and you'd have to weave through a tunnel of Penn State fans, and they were like, good luck today. I don't think they're doing the same thing to Ohio State.
Yeah, no. What about SMU in the college football playoff first round? Welcome, you warm weather Texas team, to Happy Valley. Not going to be that happy when you leave.
How big is the line? Josh, you know what the line is?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think
double
I saw
digit?
I thought I saw a touchdown.
Have you seen SMU? I haven't seen SMU play at all this year. Have you?
I've seen bits and pieces, highlights this year. But before we get to breaking down the Penn State-SMU first-round playoff game, I want to tell you guys about my experience in State College, Pennsylvania on Saturday/Sunday. So I went straight from game day this year to Pennsylvania, as I often do this time of year for the selection show. My team was supposed to be Indiana. Once it was a foregone conclusion that Indiana would be in, they pivoted me to Penn State because Penn State had the opportunity, guys, to be the number one seed headed into this playoff run. Had they knocked off Oregon, had they won against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, if Drew Aller doesn't throw that interception down the sideline late and then hand the ball over to the Ducks and they get a first down and go on to win the game, Penn State would have been the number one seed. We needed somebody there. So they were like, Jen, we need you to go to State College. State College is hard to get to. I know, Chu, you were probably traveling with the team, so they kind of greased the wheels for y'all. But it's a tough spot to get to. So, one, there's like two flights in and out. I land at State College on Saturday evening at 5 to 9. This is a win. The flight was supposed to land in State College direct from O'Hare at 9:30. So you're thinking, huh, I banked a little time. Flights are very rarely that early. This will be great. I'll get to my hotel a little bit earlier, maybe get to bed a little bit earlier. Just sort of give me that start that I need for the long selection day ahead. So you walk through the tiny airport. Tiny. And when I say tiny, Chew, you know how many gates are at the State College Airport?
4.
That's correct. It's 4.
Is it?
A, B, C,
no,
and
see,
D.
When I played, Jen, we used to have to fly into Williamsport. There was no airport in State College.
Well,
I mean, this is
there
late,
barely is for
late 80s, early 90s.
To be honest with you, it's barely an airport. But 4 gates.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that every day they've got that direct flight coming in from Chicago to State College. And I don't know how often it's early. I didn't check the percentages on the flight. I just know that on my particular evening, Saturday night, we were early. 5 to 9, we land. So we're all scooting over to our respective spots. Some people going straight out to the pickup area for Ubers and rides and whatnot. Some people going down to the baggage claim area to get their carry-on or get their checked luggage. And people like me are headed to the rental car counter. Now, at a small airport like State College, you don't have the luxury of walk past the counter, walk to your car, get in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. The keys are in there because it's in a locked, secure, gated lot, right? You know what I mean? You guys have rented cars. You know what I mean? Usually,
yeah,
with National, you just walk to the car, you grab the keys, and then they do all the checking out at the gate with the thing and the thing that keeps your car and the spikes and all of that stuff, okay? So they don't have that at State College because it's a tiny enterprise. This happens to be national, but you get what I'm saying. And so I get to the counter chew, and there is a sign. And the sign says, cleaning cars back shortly. Right? No. Cleaning cars will return. I'm thinking, okay, well, where are they cleaning the cars, right? I'm the first one there, right? Because I'm quick, I'm fast, I'm efficient through the airport. And then there's somebody behind me. And then there's another person behind me. And then there's another group behind that group. So there's five groups standing in line waiting for the enterprise, I'm sorry, national. I get they're the same thing, aren't they, Chew? You have experience in this. Aren't they the same thing?
Yes, and they're tenants of ours, so I got to be careful.
Enterprise and National. So we're waiting and we're waiting, and all the people are standing 20 feet from us getting their luggage, and the conveyor belt has started, and the bags are coming, and people are pulling them off of the line, and now there's no bags on the conveyor belt because everybody has gotten their baggage, and we are still waiting for the national representative to return to the desk so we can get our cars and be on our merry ways. Do you know how long it took for that representative to come back to the desk?
52 minutes.
Ooh, that would have been really bad.
How long?
25. Yeah. 25 minutes of standing in line with nobody at the counter to hand out the rental cars. How should I handle that?
Complain. Not that it's going to go anywhere. See, my son used to work for a rental car dealership that loved hiring athletes. And 8 years ago is very good, very efficient, very well. I'm sure they were ranked in whatever, you know, one of the best companies in America. Now they're horrible. They're terrible. They're awful. They're terrible. And that's why he left. He's like, they take advantage of. And I really don't blame the worker, Jen, because this is what they do. They're told to do this. But there are apps. Apps. There's four gates. I'm sure you can hear a plane land. Right? In State College, I'm sure you can hear the plane land and go, okay, I have 20 minutes to wash this car, and then I got to get, because people get off the plane, they're going to want rental.
I never even thought of that. I got to be real honest with you. Like, I'm thinking of all of these technology solutions to their problem, which became my problem. Like, could you have a little buzzer that you push when people are at the desk?
Yeah.
And it activates a little thing that you hold on your hip. Or you hold in your pocket and it zzz.
Sure.
And that means that someone is now at the desk, at the counter, waiting for your service, right? And then you can hustle on in from cleaning the cars and go take care of the customer's needs. Is it as simple as getting a cheap cell phone, Joshy, from a T-Mobile or a Verizon or a whatever that one is that Ryan Reynolds is telling us to buy? And you forward the calls from the desk and the counter to that phone when you have to leave the desk to go work. Like, it shouldn't just be like arbitrary, well, I'll guess when there are people at the counter, or well, I'll check back in every 30 minutes and see if a line has amassed or accumulated. There's got to be a better way, Joshy, to handle this situation.
Yeah, I mean, from as I can gather right now, the way you described it is basically the person who is handing out the cars is also the same person as cleaning them.
Correct.
Right there is your fatal flaw. If this place properly hired the amount of people it took to run the car rental place, you could have one at the gate, at the desk, and one person cleaning. It seems like they've tried to cut the corners and have one guy do both. Yes, and that is, I think, when we talk about the problems with customer service declining, because I have been on the other side of both of you on many of these discussions we have, but it largely all starts with, we're unwilling to pay people to do the jobs the way we need them to.
But necessary jobs. Yes. Just to your point, that's two jobs that they are asking one person to do. And it sticks that person in a really tough spot because I'm sure that that representative has to have those cars cleaned by the end of their shift, right?
Correct.
Like, that's a part of their job responsibilities. That's a part of the requirements.
And here's some more. Joshy, can you write this down, though? Because we have another arrogance.
Yes.
This is corporate arrogance. Because how many rental car companies are there, right? So this is just what they do. And I guarantee, you know what that person, Jen, so this was 9:30 on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Night?
Yeah.
You know what they're paying that person, I bet? $18 an hour.
That's a lot, isn't it? Or is that a lot?
And they say you have to have.
Josh is shaking his head. No, it's not a lot. It's not a lot.
$18 an hour to do that? This company makes you have a college degree, which you don't need to do that job.
Okay. Joshy. Interesting.
That's wild.
So my son worked for this for 2 years, and he's like, you spin your wheels, they take advantage of you, you work overtime, they try to stiff you on overtime. It's just, this company went downhill so fast. So fast.
So I had the opportunity to.
It's like the airlines, though, Jen.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do? There's only, what, 4 or 5 airlines that you really want to...
So that's a really good point by you, is that you walk out of the State College Airport and the rental car counters are right there. There's 1, 2, 3. There's 3. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the National and Enterprise are the same one. And you don't... Those are your options. Those are the choices, right? So I'm sure the National people are like, all right, go over to Hertz. There's nobody at the Hertz counter either. There's nobody at the dollar counter either, guys. Like, mm-hmm. This is a staffing issue, obviously, but there's got to be a smarter way. There's got to be, and this is on the company, right? And, mm-hmm. and I'm not National Corporate because they don't give a rip about how many cars go in and out of State College, Pennsylvania, but it's on the manager of that branch to make sure that if you are going to be short-staffed, if you are going to force your employee to do double duty, that you don't put them in the crosshairs of customers' frustrations. And standing in a line for 25 minutes, guys, with nobody showing up to the counter. We walked out to the lot. We walked out to the lot and did a lap to see if we could find the representative cleaning the cars. Turns out they clean the cars off property. They clean the cars like three blocks away.
The person has
to drive back and forth from the cleaning car area to the airport where the counter is. So,
well, Angie used to travel so much with them, Jen, and she would go there. She would have a reservation, go there and say, there are no cars. You got to wait 3 or 4 hours.
Until someone returns one.
Like, but I have a reservation. Yeah, but there's not going to be a car back. It's just.
And I had a little bit of PTSD from this location because last year when I went to State College, Pennsylvania, guys, my flight was delayed. Right. So I was lucky this time. My flight was early. Mm-hmm. And that was the response, by the way, that I got from the sales rep, is that how was she supposed to know that the flight was early? And I was like, track it like everyone else does. Like the Apple iPhone these days, you can put the tail number and you can put the DL1003 and you put your finger over it and it will tell you exactly where it is in the flight path and what time it's expected to land. But I digress. The other time when I got there, guys, they closed the counter. The flight arrived after 10 p.m. and they're off the clock and they left. And there were 4 of us who were waiting there. We had reservations, active reservations. Mm-hmm. And because our flight was delayed, they said, oopsie poopsie. So sad. Sorry. SOL. And we all were like, what do you mean? They're like, well, we have to close at 10. Well, but the flight was delayed. And we all were coming off the flight. Well, we can't do anything about it. So I already had a little PTSD with that situation, with this location when I went into it. So, of course, I texted my travel coordinator and was like, I knew it. Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Brian in Lake Mills wants to know if there's a solution to this issue. Brian, what do you got?
All right, there. First off, good morning. There has to be this solution to a kiosk. There's kiosks for everything, a vending machine.
Yeah.
You do all your paperwork and everything ahead of time, so that way once you get there, all you have to do is insert your form of payment or whichever
license,
one you gave at the beginning.
Driver's license.
Then next thing you know, you select it. Now you got to make sure that your vehicle is going to be there, but that's where the person cleaning the car you might be able to get to for a complaint. But why not a kiosk?
I like the vending machine option. I wonder if people have thought about this, where you put your card in, it matches your card, because the licenses are all scannable now.
Yeah, on the back.
You just boop them, mm-hmm. if you can boop your license and it will, you know, like yesterday we were at Costco and my girls wanted some water. So they dropped a quarter in the machine and you watch the thing, B6, goes up to B6, water comes out, drops into the little thing. Like we could do that, right? And it would be the keys to the vehicle. I kind of love that as an option. I kind of might call State College, Pennsylvania and give them that. Hey, here's some free advice. Kiosk.
But once again, it's not the person working there.
I know.
Because all they're doing is following protocol.
Who else was I supposed to
express
management. The frustration to? That's the thing.
No, I know. Yeah.
Well, you talk to the manager, right? Is what you said?
Yeah. Eventually. So Sunday when I went back, so I ended up, guys, full disclosure, I ended up Ubering. I ended up getting an Uber and I left after 25 minutes and I Ubered to my hotel and then I Ubered from the hotel to the facility and then I Ubered from the facility to the airport on Sunday. And when I got there, I saw someone at the counter. So I was like, I got some time. I walked over and I was like, hey, could we just debrief about the situation last night? What happened last night when our flight got in 30 minutes early and there was no one at the desk? And it happened to be the representative who had been cleaning the cars and doing the counter the night previously. And I will tell you that she was not very comfortable having this conversation with me. So she did involve the manager, which was great because the manager is the one that can make the changes. And the manager defaulted to, we are a small operation. We are short-staffed. We have to get the cars cleaned. We have to man the counter. And since we don't know when there will be people at the counter, the cleaning of the cars is our priority. I got to be honest with you guys. Do you really care about the cleanliness of your rental car?
Smoking bothers me more than
100%,
anything.
100%, but you're not supposed to smoke
in
the cars.
Don't give me a car where someone has smoked.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to get fined if you smoke in the car.
I would say to a degree. Some people, you would be shocked at how they leave cars that they are loaned or take
now,
out.
Now, that was, Joshy, that was one of the perks for my one son because people would leave sunglasses behind, they'd leave earbuds behind.
Yeah.
So I think this company takes that into consideration. Like, well, we're only going to pay you $18 an hour, but you can have some pretty good cleans when you're cleaning these cars.
All right, 800-990-3776. If you have a reaction to my rental car fiasco over the weekend, it was not ideal. Customer service, as we know, is sort of going the way of the dodo bird. And yet there's got to be a solution to, if you have to man the counter and clean the cars, being able to track at the very least the flights coming in to your tiny four-gate airport. Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game and a major move for all the sports bettors out there. You can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks. You can bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Though that is a winning play. Bet above the rest at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
Ready? All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's always a great day when we can catch up with Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Gabriel. Good morning, Mark.
I didn't fire him on quick enough, and I didn't tell him Gabe's not here.
0 for 2. No,
wait,
Gabriel. And
good morning.
Gabe's not here.
Gabe's off this week. He deserves a little time off, don't you think?
Absolutely. No. I wouldn't have said his name, though. Had I known he wasn't there.
My fault.
No big deal. Good to chat with you, Jason. All right. So is Jordan Love playing his best football of the season right now? And does it portend for the future with this team as they wrap up the season?
Yes. Look, I'm eager to see what he does in the final four games, right? I'm eager to see what he does, especially against Seattle and Minnesota, because I'm still not thoroughly certain of what this team is and what it's capable of. But look, he's healthy. He's making good decisions. He's taking checkdowns. The only other thing I would add, though, is at the same time that I'm agreeing with you that he's playing his best football of the year, A, there were times early in the season where he was not playing good football at all in terms of making poor decisions and trying to play hero ball when he didn't need to. But B, the way that their offense is operating right now and the limited snaps they're getting in games, you know, another game where they had, where they end up with technically 50 snaps, if you include penalty plays, you know, he threw 20 passes. He only completed 12. I mean, it's not as if they, you know, put the game on his back. And so my only question is, if they get to a game, let's say in the postseason, where they're facing a defense that is shutting down Josh Jacobs, is he going to play at the level that we all expect him to and Packers fans hope him to play at? And I don't know the answer to that. I thought it was really interesting yesterday that Matt LaFleur basically said the way the Lions defended them, and he gave a great answer explaining, you know, why, in his opinion anyway, they didn't do a good enough job of getting the ball to Jaden Reed. But, you know, he basically said, look, they played their base defense all game long. We decided to counter with big people because we still felt like it was important to run the football. So that reduced Jaden Reed's snaps. But it also tells you that even though they were daring the Packers to throw the ball, they were committed to running it. And if there's a game where they do that in the postseason, is Jordan Love going to get the opportunity to grip it and rip it? And how's he going to fare? That's one of the questions I have moving forward.
Jason, I know there's nothing they can do about it this year, but is it time to go and get a number one, a stud receiver? Because I think this is why their third down percentage is so terrible. You know, they all have the same kind of guy. Defensively, they don't have to do any. They don't have to double anybody. Do you think it's finally time? Like, let's go out and get a T. Higgins. So at least we know they're going to double team him, and then the picture becomes easier for Jordan Love.
Yeah. Look, you've been very clear on your opinion on this. I don't have a problem with it. I would say that they are a better third down team when Romeo Doubs is healthy. He's missed the last two games. You remember what he did against, well, I guess I shouldn't say that because now I don't remember which team it was against, but he had those, was it the 49ers where he had three consecutive third down conversion catches? I think that he is that possession James Jones receiver that when you're missing him, when he misses 2.5 games already with that concussion, that impacts their third down. But you're right. Look, everyone who watched Minnesota, because the Packers weren't playing on Sunday, saw what it really does for you when you have a true blue blood number one receiver. And, oh, by the way, a number two who could be a number one on most other teams, right? And we've seen that here. Mm-hmm. And just what a difference that makes. You know, I do think, and I think we both talked about this before the season, and this whole idea that, oh, they're better off not having a one. You and I never bought into that. And if mm-hmm. you look at where they are in terms of their passing game, you can argue that whole idea of separation and someone really growing into that number one job has not occurred. And so, do I think they're going to sign T. Higgins, who they could have drafted instead of Jordan Love, and then end up with both of those guys on their team? That would be interesting. I'd be on board for that story. But I just don't see Goody spending exorbitant money on a number one. I think he believes that he can replenish that position through the draft, that all those guys are kind of interchangeable, and he thinks that this is the way to go. Not to have the Davante Adams departure, everyone can say what they want. They can look at how things worked out with the Raiders and now with the Jets. But the fact of the matter is that at one point, there was no doubt he wanted to stay. He got lowballed, he got mad, and Goody, I don't think, really ever really truly wanted to keep him anyway. So it's a young man's game, and he would much rather continue to add young wide receivers than pay someone number one money to come in and be the number one.
To Chewy's point, I was just Googling the old third down conversion percentage. Green Bay 19th in the league on third down. And then, Jason, you were just talking about passing statistics. They are middle of the road, middle of the pack in passing as a team this season. You talked a little bit about the Jaden Reed thing. I don't want to dive too much more into that. But I am curious about how the locker room is handling the way that these snaps are being shared. When you talk to the guys, is it still that idea of as long as we're winning games, right? Because we saw the stat yesterday, Jason, that the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings are 28-3 against the rest of the NFL. This is the ultimate, like, cannibalizing in the division going on in the NFC North. What is the mindset of the receivers and the pass catchers with the way that the snaps have shaken out, with the way the targets have shaken out this season?
Well, the only one that I talked to about it yesterday was Jaden Reed himself. And, you know, look, wide receivers are smart enough not to say to reporters, I'm really pissed off. This is ridiculous. I'm supposed to be the number one receiver. Give me the damn ball, like Keyshawn Johnson. Who I don't even know if some of these guys are old enough to remember Keyshawn Johnson as a player. But I feel like it's Groundhog Day, right? Because we had the Romeo Doubs not showing up for work early in the year. Then I and others wrote and talked about Christian Watson not being involved. Now it's Jaden Reed not being involved. Now I think we've run the gamut because, you know, with the number of drops that Dontavian Wicks has had, I don't think we'll be doing a Dontavian Wicks isn't getting enough snaps or getting enough targets story in a couple weeks. But I would say this, Jaden Reed is their leading receiver, both in terms of receptions and in terms of yardage, despite getting 8 catches for 73 yards over the last 4 games. And that happened after he had 5 catches for 113 against the Lions on November 3rd. So he is capable of being maybe not number one of Justin Jeffersonian levels, but he is capable of being a go-to guy. And the fact that he has not gotten the ball and the fact that Matt LaFleur flat out, A, admitted it to us publicly that they need to do a better job, and B, came up to Jaden Reed before practice yesterday privately and told him, hey, we got to do better. We're going to do better. We need to get you involved. This is on us, not on you. Tells you a lot about how much they feel he has to be part of what they do.
Jason, back to the offense real quick. Do you think this is the offense that LaFleur wants to run with a kind of a 50-50 split run to pass? Or is he forced to do that because Josh Jacobs is pretty good? I just get the feeling that he doesn't want to do that. He wants the split to be more 40-60 instead of 50-50.
Yeah, you know this. It's a tale as old as time, which I always love it when I can get a Beauty and the Beast reference in on the show. All these guys, Holmgren, McCarthy, LaFleur, they all want to sling it, right? They all do. I mean, the one that might not have was Mike Sherman, right? Tight ends coach.
Yeah.
Give the ball to Amon Green 355 times during the 2003 season. Like, the offensive linemen and the running backs want to run it. Everybody else wants to chuck it. And so, no, I do think he is running the offense that he thinks gives them the best chance to win. And, by the way, it does. And by the way, you're right. Josh Jacobs is really good. He's not just pretty good. I mean, he's really good. And I say that as a staunch Aaron Jones supporter, that he has been an upgrade. He just is. And so, and I thought, you know, this is the beauty of working with you and Tausch and Brian Bulaga. I mean, I the idea that they have basically completely overhauled their run game, going from an outside zone system to one where they run duo constantly, and the fact that Matt LaFleur made that change because that's what works best for Josh Jacobs. I was talking to Josh Myers about this. That tells you everything you need to know, that he's that good that they came in here expressly wanting to run that system and did with Aaron Jones for a very long time, and now it's very infrequent that they're running true outside zone. They run inside zone, they run duo, but they don't run a lot of outside zone anymore because it doesn't fit their guy.
Green Bay Packers are fourth in the league right now, guys, in run-pass ratio. 52% run, 48% pass. That's behind Philadelphia, which is running the ball 60% of the time. I imagine Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley will do that. Pittsburgh and then Detroit. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
I would just add, I'd be curious if you take out the 2.5 games that Malik Willis quarterback.
Great point, yep.
Where they move in those rankings, if that's a mathematical possibility. Because I think it would still be high, but I think they would dip below 50%, I would guess. So, all right, guys.
This is where...
Hold on, Jason. Jason, one weird question. Is AJ Dillon done?
I think he's done here. I don't know if he's done.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, this is a first of all the years I've been doing this. I don't know if I've ever gotten a post take care, be good return engagement. Definitely not for an AJ Dillon question. I can tell you that.
It reminded me of when I'm leaving for work in the morning and my girls are like, wait, mom, one more hug, please. I'm like, okay.
One more hug for Chewy. Yeah, I'm happy to deliver it.
All right,
guys. Let's try that again. Take care.
Football season is back, and I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Got my Celsius right here this morning. Going to be a long one as I got a flight this evening to Los Angeles. Going to need to make sure I have all the energy to get through my responsibilities, and Celsius Energy Drink is going to be there for me every step of the way. You can explore all 27 refreshing flavors. This one, my go-to, the OG, peach vibe. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally, yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe and Chewy, if you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, where he talked about Jordan Love and Jaden Reed, you can find that on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Jaden Reed was a topic of conversation a lot yesterday on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We discussed his usage, and Wilde and Tausch discussed his usage, and KBN and the Homer Show. Everybody was talking about how and why. Do you have a game where Jaden Reed is not a part of the offense? Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, guys, because, of course, the reporters like Rob Domofsky and Jason Wilde, well, they asked Matt LaFleur yesterday about why Jaden Reed didn't get the ball in the last game against the Lions.
Where we can be better is, and I talked to Jaden about this, is just making sure that we have some of those plays for him in the game plan where he's tagged to go in there and play wide out, because he's certainly, obviously, he's a very impactful player, and it wasn't by design that we don't want to throw him the ball today. That's never the case. We tried to down in the red area too, and that's when we got, they did a good job, I think. Again, they were in base people, and we couldn't sneak them through that A gap, and you all know what happened on that play, so it wasn't good for us.
Matt LaFleur's answer there was actually about 2 minutes long. He described how they played base defense a lot. They wanted to play bigger, and it just sort of ended up in a situation where he wasn't in on the plays that got called for, what typically called for him.
So. Right, because the big issue is the 25 snaps, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you want a playmaker, a dynamic playmaker like Jaden Reed on the field more, don't you, Chew?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are just talking about the last game. I mean, Jason gave us the stats of the last four. 73 yards, and this is your horse. Now, in you got to put this into context, too. Detroit's defense was decimated. Decimated.
Yep, yeah.
If you play with that defense the whole year, they're finishing 25, 26, 27. So this, I just, I don't like 50-50. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't like 50-50.
You're talking about run-pass ratio.
If you do, yes. I think if you do shut Josh Jacobs down, I just don't know if they can throw for 400 yards. These receivers are so inconsistent, you know? They can throw for 320, but when you're playing Philly, when you're playing Detroit again and their defense is better, and you're playing Minnesota where, I'm sorry, you got to score 35? I just don't – I'm not a fan. So and I know Josh Jacobs is great, but we all know that the running back position is devalued, right? It's just – I don't know. I want to see them start throwing for 380, for 360, for 410. That's what I want to see. That's what I feel better about going into the playoffs.
Okay.
Not throwing for 199. You know what I'm saying?
What would your game plan be against the Seattle Seahawks this weekend?
Well, Seattle's a little different because crowd noise is difficult. Your RPOs are tougher. Your checking at the line is tougher. So you really kind of, in this situation, run the ball, control the clock, and get out of there with a win. Because I'll tell you this, right now, I'm leaning towards Seattle. I'm sorry, I'm just them. I know what happens to teams like this that are young late in the season. They play a big game, and I saw, you know, the numbers from a viewing standpoint were astronomical, the best everywhere. You feel that, and then you go on the road, and it's late in the season, and my elbow hurts, and Seattle's loud, and I can't hear. It's just the recipe for something not good. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think the Packers would have won the game against the Lions if Jaden Reed was used more? Because I still go back to the slow start as being the issue for the Packers in that game, right? We talked about it. Punt, punt, fumble. Yeah. Punt, punt, fumble to start the game. Maybe you could argue, well, if you get Jaden Reed involved in the offense right away, to the point that... Matt LaFleur and Jason Wilde made, it was obvious that the Lions wanted to force the Packers to throw the ball. They wanted them in passing situations, obviously. And I believe, I was talking to somebody who was at the game this past weekend, I believe they played a video before the game where Dan Campbell was talking about the matchup against the Packers. And I believe Dan Campbell called out Jaden Reed specifically, saying something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing here because it's a bit of the telephone game, but saying something along the lines of, we know he is a key to their offense and we are going to try to shut him down. So I have to walk away from that game thinking that they also, the Lions, as they're strategizing to win the game, felt if they could take him out of the game, if they could make it hard for him to make plays. Again, the 25 snaps is not on Dan Campbell, right? Jaden Reed being involved in 21 essential you know, snaps on the field is not on Dan Campbell. But then when he was on the field, Campbell went on the record and said, we're trying to shut down that guy. So there's a lot of little things at play here. What I will say I walk away from it with, Chu, is... We mentioned it yesterday with Matt LaFleur. The goal of him as a coach is obviously to win games. Secondarily, and connected to that, is how do you keep that unit cohesive? How do you keep that unit from getting disgruntled? And Jaden Reed yesterday said, man, I just keep controlling what I can control, being a good teammate. Whether I am or not getting the ball, just keep cheering on those guys and being there for them and coaching them up. This is a team sport. It's not about me at the end of the day. Wow. I love that.
Yeah, that's the right thing to say. But here was our philosophy, Jen. Okay, and I don't understand why they went bigs because, like I said, this defense was decimated. You go, is Christian Watson better than their number one DB? Well, it's a push. Is Devontae Wicks better than their second DB?
Dontavian.
It's kind of a push. Dontavian Wicks. Is Jaden Reed better than their nickel? Yes. So let's target him. Is Tucker Kraft better than anyone that's going to cover him man-to-man or in zone? Yes. That's how we would attack teams. Is Free better than their one? Yeah, let's go there. Is Robert better than their two? Yes. Is BB better than their three? Yes. That's how we attack defenses. That's how we attack defense. Why in God's green earth they went, we're going to run bigs here, you know? Because they know they have a third down problem. 19th in the league for someone who's going to be in the top 10 of the power rankings, that ain't going to get it done. And on the flip side, you cannot give up 27. I gave you a little hint. And I'll tell you what about power rankings. This is exactly how I would have picked them.
Oh!
Because you have a defense. You have a defense that is giving up 27 first downs in a game, which is makes you want to throw up. So we knew it was going to be, and it turned out to be a back and forth, but still the numbers were skewed. I just want to see this. The running game's great, but you ain't going to win it. I'm sorry, you're not going to win it with a running game with this defense. I'm just saying what it is. I want to see these receivers. I want to see every single game a different receiver catching yardage for 120 yards, for 109 yards, for 140 yards. That's what I want to see. And when is the last time we saw that? Joshy, when is the last time we saw a receiver over 100 yards receiving?
Christian Watson just did it.
When?
I think like a few weeks ago. I'll have to pull up the game logs, okay. But it's very recent.
I mean, you should have one every week. I'm sorry. Should have one every week. And we don't get that.
Ideally, would you like it to be the same guy? Or are you okay with them?
No. It's fine if they're all going to be the same, but someone's got to have a breakout game in every game.
Christian had 114 yards against the Lions.
This past game?
And am I seeing him with 150 against the Bears? Does that seem right? Christian Watson game log. Bears, Packers, November 17th. 150 receiving yards. You seeing that, Joshy?
Yeah.
We got to get to break. I do think that there is a challenge, of course, with the way that this offense is going to be structured going forward. Josh Jacobs is going to be on the field for, what, 60% of the snaps? Close to that? Something like that?
Probably more.
Yeah. Sure.
Tucker Kraft is going to be on the field, I think. The way that he's been playing, if you want to continue to build on his momentum, I think you're going to see him on the field a lot more. So then, you know, Chu, it's that rotation of wide receivers then.
Yeah.
And that's Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, if he ever gets out of and gets cleared from concussion protocol, and who am I missing? Dontavian Wicks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jaden Reed.
Josh Jacobs is playing about 80%. At this point, Tucker Kraft is 90% or more of the snaps. They're basically just not taking him off the field, which is the right thing.
Should. Correct. Keep him on the field. We got to take a break here on Jen, Game, and Chewy. Josh Jacobs' offensive snaps, 66% right now, according to Pro Football Reference. We got to take a break. Joshy got yelled at. We got to get into it right after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here. I think more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
Yeah, I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ryan from Milwaukee says, disagree big time. Philly runs the ball almost 60% of the time. Jacobs is a stud, and if he's being productive, you have to keep feeding him, especially when your defense has struggled recently. We can continue talking about the breakdown of run versus pass for the Green Bay Packers, and if you want to see Josh Jacobs run the ball more in the final few games of the season. But, Joshy got yelled at in a text message this morning. Joshy, can you give us the breakdown of the conversation between you and what is it that you call your
Mussolini?
Yeah, there it is. Yep.
Yeah, I sent a text message this morning to Mussolini. That is my girlfriend, for those of you in the audience unaware of that name at this point, saying I had forgotten my breakfast burrito that I had cooked up this morning on the counter while leaving the house. I said that mainly because the dog roams around the house. Don't want him getting into that. It's
smart, since my dog this morning stole my daughter's breakfast off the counter as I was going and saying goodbye to the kiddos. So, yes, that's a very, very smart move of you, Josh.
Yes, yeah, so there was no surprises. And I said in a text message, and I quote, I left my burrito on the counter this morning, SMH.
To which she responded with,
you are too old.
No, you gotta read the whole thing.
LOL, you are too old to say SMH.
To which you responded,
what is SMH?
Hang on, Chew.
I mean, catch a hint here, bud. I said, what the heck? SMH is from my people. Because to me, both SMH and LOL were generated in the same online, remember when we did AIM chat? Like, that was my age group. LOL and SMH are like the founding fathers of the shortened words.
So it's okay, Chew, that you don't know what SMH means. It means shaking my head. Like, the disbelief.
Yeah, I'm disappointed
in myself.
Yeah,
that is old.
Yeah.
And LOL is too. LOL's evolved into the smile emoji in crying, which I use all the time. LOL is kind of... That's old. Now, take it from a guy who has the ability to put people into emoji jail, which I used, and I will be using it this weekend because one of Angie's friends talks too much. She talks too much, okay? I want when I'm watching a college football game or a pro game, I don't mind a little talking. I don't need talking all the time. So I have the ability to put her, and I have put her in emoji jail for a half hour.
What is emoji jail?
You're only allowed to use hand signals. Thumbs up, middle finger, crying, thumbs down for a half hour. You're in emoji jail.
Wait.
Now,
Time out. I want to make sure I am very, very clear on what is happening here, sir. You are hanging out with this person in real life, correct? This person is in your presence.
She's great. She's wonderful.
She's wonderful. When you put her in emoji jail, she is in your presence, correct? You're sitting with her.
Yeah,
you're watching
she's sitting at the table.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She agrees to be put into, because I would just tell you to go bleep yourself.
No, she knows because she does not like dead air. I like dead air. When I'm doing something, watching TV, sitting in a bar, people watching, I want dead air. I don't need constant banter and talk. And Angie, my wife, provokes it at time. I have not put her in emoji jail because she knows. But we're all going to Key West this weekend, and I anticipate probably two bouts of emoji jail.
That's insane. Joshy, what would you do if someone tried to put you in quote-unquote emoji jail?
Talk more.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've never really had the issue of someone telling me I'm talking too much, though.
That's not a problem.
I think, though, you're too scared to put Ange in emoji jail. You don't want the repercussions of what will come on the back end of attempting that.
See, the thing about Ange is she knows when she belongs in emoji jail. This friend of ours has no idea. Has no idea. Just does not like dead air. You know, do you know people like that don't like dead air?
Sure. Not comfortable with the silence.
Yes. Silence is fine. Silence is wonderful. I love silence.
I do just want to weigh in here with some of our other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy members' responses to that you're not allowed to use SMH. Gabe Neitzel says, if you're too old for SMH, then she's too old for LOL. Same generation. Ashton Rotman says, I would like to not argue with Mussolini. Doesn't bode well, according to history. And I believe he's talking world history there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and the important part he forgot is Mussolini lost. You might lose some along the way, but you got to keep fighting the war.
He wound up upside down in a park.
Yeah. So I got to keep it strong here.
You keep doing you, Joshy. SMHing your way through life. Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.